To the book of Revelation, chapter 19, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word, Revelation 19, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and we thank you for this time that we've had to open thy word and to read thy word. And Lord, as we go through it tonight, I pray that you'll use it to strengthen us and to help us to be more like thee. I pray if there be one here tonight without Christ as Savior, I ask you, Lord, that to let this be the night they trust you. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen me as I stand to preach. Lord, may I say everything that needs to be said. And Lord, may I be used of thee. Lord, I need thy help. I can't do this without you, and I know that. I pray, O Father, that you would enable me. Lord, that you would guide my thoughts. And Lord, when it all is said and done and it comes time to respond, I pray that we'll be obedient. Give us, Lord, that which we need, and help us to be faithful. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. In chapter number 18, the Bible says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven." And here in these first few verses of chapter number 19, we see heaven rejoicing. And they're rejoicing over the events that have taken place. I want to preach tonight on this thought: heaven's hallelujah chorus. Heaven's hallelujah chorus. As we watch, as heaven rejoices, these people have seen all that have taken place, that the satanic system of religion and the political power has been destroyed. The second coming of Christ is just ahead. And with all that's happening, there's a pouring out of praise to God. That's exciting, isn't it? The Bible says 4 times, chapter 19, these first 6 verses, it uses the word 4 times, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, that phrase, praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord, is used over 20 times. It's the same word, the same meaning. It's used over 20 times. But in the New Testament, this word's not used but 4 times in the whole New Testament. And they're all here in these first 6 verses of the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. And we find them here. And I believe God was saving them for a purpose and for a reason. Somebody says, what's all the rejoicing about? And to whom is the rejoicing directed? Well, I believe it's all about, and it's all directed to the Lord God. It's all about Him. And they sang the hallelujah chorus because, first of all, because of His power. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. "And the things I heard, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." So the Bible says that after these things, all the things that have transpired up to this point, all the things that they have seen, that they have viewed, that they have heard, and they have watched take place before their very eyes, after all of these things, there's rejoicing over His power. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that there was a voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. When we look at this, we consider His power, the power of His salvation. That's His purchase. Christ redeemed all who believe in Him through the shedding of His blood. He has the power to redeem, amen? From all walks of life, from every nation and every tongue and every kindred, there are people that have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder they said, hallelujah. No wonder they're excited because of His power to redeem. I want you to know tonight, there's no other power in the world like this power. The power of His salvation. Hallelujah. I have been saved. Amen. I've been redeemed by the blood of God's precious Lamb. And they sang the hallelujah chorus because of the power of His salvation. And then second, because of the power of His glory. And while the power of His salvation speaks of His purchase, the power of His glory speaks of His praise. He's worthy of our praise tonight, amen? He alone is worthy to be praised. And tonight, we ought to learn to praise our God. We ought to praise Him now. I tell people all the time, you ought to get practiced up. You know, this is the quietest world you're ever going to live in. Sometimes, you know, we go to church and we think that it's, you know, we just have to sit there with our hands folded and with our lips closed. And I can imagine your first day in heaven, if that's what you think it's all about, your first day in heaven, you're going to be quite surprised. Because I promise you, you won't be sitting there with your hands folded and your mouth closed. You won't be able to help yourself. You'll want to start giving glory unto the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. I think of people all the time that sit down here, you know, and you go to churches and they're just so stiff. Now, I think it's all to be ordered to the Lord. There's no doubt about that. But man, I think we're missing out on some things when we don't learn to praise Him for the power of His glory. You know, His glory is not something that's going to be revealed then. It's already been revealed to us. That's how come I know I'm on my way to heaven. I can go to a ball game and I can get all up in the air about it or all aggravated about it. I can go watch my kids do something and I get all excited about it. And you know, then we come to church and somebody talks about how Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And we sit there and go, I just wonder. I believe when you start reading the Psalms, over and over it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise Him, all ye hosts of heaven. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the tabernacle. Praise Him with the temple. Praise ye the Lord. You know, the Bible teaches us we're to praise the Lord. We're to praise Him because of the power of His glory. Not only when we think about the power of His glory being His praise and the power of His salvation being His purchase, we see thirdly, we ought to be praising the Lord, and they were praising God because of the power of His honor. Now this speaks of His purity, of who He is. Honor has been bestowed upon Him by heaven. Only the Lord's worthy of this honor. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, verse number 7, talking about the Lord Jesus, thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest Him with glory and honor, and didst set Him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He should by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I'll tell you, dear friends, tonight, when we talk about the power of His honor, we're talking about His purity. We're talking about how He left the portals of glory, robed Himself in flesh. He came and was made a little lower than the angels so that He could suffer the death of the cross, so that He could pay for the sin debt of all the people, so that He could taste death for every man. Nobody in that world has ever done anything quite like this. And because of that, We ought to be praising him for the power of his honor. We ought to honor the Lord. Well, the Bible teaches us here, when all these things transpire, they're going to be praising the power of his honor. They're not going to miss out on it. They're not going to sit there with their hands folded and their mouths closed. They're going to be giving honor to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And then we see that they praise him. They sing the hallelujah chorus and they praise him for the power of his power. That's pretty neat, huh? There's no other power like his power. The world's never known anything like it. He had the power to in the beginning create the heaven and the earth. He had the power to destroy the world with the flood. He had the power to send the plagues upon Egypt and to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. He had the power to split open the Red Sea and they were able to cross over on dry ground. He had the power to give water from the rock. He had power to send manna from heaven. He had power to allow the children of Israel to cross over Jordan on dry ground. He had the power to robe himself in flesh and come into this world through the womb of a virgin young lady. He had the power to heal the sick. He had the power to raise the dead. He had the power to live a sinless life. He had the power to be nailed to a cross, to die on that cross, to be buried, and thank God the third day to rise again. And he had the power to make the promise that one day soon he would return. There's no other power in the world like this. He'll destroy the enemy. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation 17 and the book of Revelation 18, one day he'll do away with that wicked religion and he'll do away with that wicked political system. Friends, he's the only one that has the power, and they're going to see it and rejoice over him, over her. Thou heaven is what the Bible says. And they say, hallelujah. And tonight I say we ought to be singing the hallelujahs of God. And we ought to join in the heavenly chorus, praising him for the power of his blessed power. They sing hallelujah, heaven's hallelujah chorus because of his power. But not only because of his power, they sang the hallelujah chorus because of his promise. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The Bible says in the book of the New Testament, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And the Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now I want you to look what the Bible says in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 6, verse number 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? God promised in the book of Romans that vengeance belongs to him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says the same thing, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Chapter number 6 of the book of Revelation, verse 9 and verse 10, these souls that are under the altar that have faced the martyrdom throughout this time of tribulation and throughout these difficult times and difficult things, they're crying from under the altar and they're saying, how long, God? How long are you going to avenge us and avenge what has happened? I want you to know God promised that he would avenge his own. And now this Babylonian religion and Babylon's political power, they're destroyed, and the very things that have persecuted the believers from the very beginning has received the judgment of God, just like he promised. God told Satan in the beginning that he would meet his end. God told his children, as we go through the world and we face the persecutions of the world, that God would avenge us. God said, showed us here in the book of Revelation, these were under the altar, and they're saying, how long, God? And this thing that God promised, this vengeance that God said belonged to him, we see fulfilled. We see it taken care of. Because the very things that have persecuted these believers, they're now done away with. No more, the Bible says, forever and ever will this Babylon rise up against the people of God. No more. Hallelujah. There's a day coming when we won't have to deal with that bunch anymore, where the world won't have to deal with it. They sing the Hallelujah chorus because of His power. They sing the Hallelujah chorus because of His promise. Then I want you to see they sang the Hallelujah chorus because of His place. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! Back in chapter number 4 of Revelation, we're introduced to these 24 elders. And we're introduced to the four beasts. They're before the throne back there, and they're around about the throne, the Bible says. In chapter number 4, the four beasts, the Bible says, of the four beasts they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The elders, in chapter 4, they cast their crowns before the throne and they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And now we come to the end. We were introduced to him way back in chapter number 4. Now through all the things that have taken place, I want you to know God's still in his rightful place. He's on his throne in glory. The elders and the beasts, the Bible says here in chapter 19, fall before him and they give him their amen. I can imagine as they beheld all the events of the tribulation and the action of God, I could just hear them as they're sitting there saying, Amen! I get excited about it, don't you? That's why I like it when I'm up here preaching, somebody says, Amen! Because I believe you're excited about what's being said. Some people, I ever wonder if they ever do get excited about what's being said, you know? I told you about the little boy where I went in and preached, and he was a 5-year-old boy, and man, I got done preaching and walked out. This is a country church. I'm telling you, they still had outdoor restrooms. It's amazing, huh? I walked out. That little old boy, he came up to me and he said, You're the best preacher I ever heard. Man, I mean, I was puffed, you know. I said, Thank you, young man. He said, I've never fell asleep so quick in my life. You talk about, you know, I was deflated. I believe when we find the truth, we hear truth from the Word of God, it's all right to at least nod your head or grunt or say amen. I want to get in practice, don't you? I just want to practice that now. Amen. And Jesus died on the cross. Amen. He was buried and He rose again the third day. Amen. I just practicing. Because He lives, amen. On Christ a solid rock, I say, amen. Wonderful grace of Jesus, amen. Might as well get practiced up. You're going to be singing the Hallelujah chorus. And I've heard it sung so many times down here in beautiful, beautiful ways, but it's not going to compare to the hallelujahs that we hear over there. What a time that's going to be. What a glorious time that's going to be because of His place. You know where He is? He's on His throne. Satan's been trying to unseat Him for all these ages, but I want you to know He's still there. He's on His throne and everything's all right. And they said, "Hallelujah." And it means, "Praise the Lord. You are who you said you are. You are where you said you would be." And they praise Him. They sang the hallelujah chorus because of His power. They sang the hallelujah chorus because of His promise. They sang the hallelujah chorus because of His place. And then finally, I want you to see, they sang the hallelujah chorus because of His preeminence. The Bible says in a voice, verse number 5, a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And the Bible says, in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and verse number 18, it says, "And He," talking about Christ, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." We find another fellow in the Bible. The Bible says in the book of 3 John, verse number 9. The Bible says, "I wrote unto the church," John's writing, the same one that wrote the book of the Revelation through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He says, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." You know what was going on? Diotrephes wanted to take the place of preeminence over Christ in the church. And Satan has tried to have the place of preeminence not only in the church, but the place of preeminence in all of the world. But now, Revelation 19, the system of Satan and the seed of Satan is destroyed. Thank God. Oh, who is it that's on the throne in heaven? Who is it that has the preeminence? It's none other than the Lord God. And they praise Him. They sing the hallelujah chorus because of His preeminence. The Bible says, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and mighty thunderings, sent forth their praise. And all of His servants that fear Him, both small and great, say mightily, "Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." That word omnipotent, of course, means all powerful. See, now Satan's power is gone. Oh yes, the day we're living in, he is the prince of the power of the air. But he's met his day. He's met his end. I'm telling you, he's come down to the end of the line, and Satan's power is gone, and it is the Lord God who sits preeminently on His throne in heaven. Now I want you to know something tonight. Right now, this very night, God is on His throne. The rapture of the church and the events of the tribulation are still ahead of us. And the question is, are you ready? If Christ were to rapture the church tonight, if the trumpet were to sound and the voice of the archangel were to be heard, would you go to be with the Lord? Would you be one of those that will be singing this hallelujah chorus? Let me ask you, you're saved and you know that heaven's going to be your home, but are you letting the troubles of the world defeat you? Can I tell you something? God's on the throne. It's all under His control. I wish I could understand why everything happens. But if I'm going to believe what the Bible has to say, I have to put my faith in that God is on the throne, and that if I'll do what He wants me to do with my life, He'll take care of me. I may not have a dime to my name, but I'll have everything I need to live by. Because God is on the throne. And He'll not forsake me. And He'll not forsake you. We need to trust Him not only with our souls for salvation, but we've got to trust Him with our life. He's on the throne. Let's practice up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What a time. One of these days, you and I are going to hear that trumpet sound. We're going to hear the voice of the archangel. We're going to hear the shout of the Lord. Those that have gone on before us, the Bible teaches us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And if we're still here when Jesus comes in the clouds, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to meet the Lord. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, I look forward to that day. I wish He would come tonight. You know? And we'll leave the presidential election to those that are left behind. We'll leave the economy to those that are left behind. Let's give it all to them. And we'll be around the throne praising His wonderful grace forever and forever. Heaven's Hallelujah Chorus. I'm glad I'm going to be singing it, aren't you? I wish I understood everything about it. Some of these could be the very saints that are still here that have gone through the tribulation, and I believe that's possible. But there's going to be many of those. The 24 elders, we said, represents the saints of the ages. I believe that that's true. Those that come through the tribulation, and they're going to see that mighty Babylon. They're going to see that smoke rising up. The Bible says forever. In other words, it's going to be forever gone. That system's going to be gone. Chapter 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heavens. Heaven's going to be rejoicing. The saints that's made it through the tribulation are going to be rejoicing. You know what they're going to be saying? Hallelujah. You know what that means? Praise the Lord. We have a lot to praise Him for now, don't we? I imagine it'd be wise of us to go ahead and just start thanking Him now. So what do you have to thank Him for? Well, I don't have to go to hell. I can stop right there and just shout all night. I am going to heaven. I can stop right there and shout all night. I have my needs provided. I have a Savior that's closer than a brother. I have somebody that said He'd never leave me or forsake me, take care of me, love me, in spite of me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We know that You love us. We thank You for that. Lord Jesus, tonight, as we've read in Thy Word, Thy wonderful, wonderful mercies, Thy power, that You're going to fulfill those promises. Not only will You be in that place, You're already in that place, that throne. You have the preeminence. Lord, help us to live our lives realizing who You are and what You want to do with us and through us. Lord, if there be one here tonight that's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the night. This would be the night. Or that they have an understanding that Jesus loves Him, died on the cross for their sins, and they must truly put their faith in Thee. For those of us that are saved, I pray that tonight that we would put our faith and trust in You, not just for salvation, which You've already done, but for our lives. Realizing that You're the Lord God omnipotent that reigneth. Oh Lord, may we live in the victorious life that You have for us. And we'll thank you and praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight,